emotions.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back. Yanks of the Cop just closed out our live stream. Appreciate all you guys who joined that. We're the hosts today. As always, we have the beautiful Sophie.
Oh, thanks.
Handsome Wahomie and the Allison lookalike, Steve. We're here. Appreciate you all. We're absolutely buzzing. I'm watching Nat Phillips post-match conference right now. I don't even know where to begin. Best case scenario, ultimately, 3-0 win. We are now officially in fourth place. 4 goals up on Leicester. I'm absolutely buzzing. Wahomie, you were pretty negative to start that match. How do you feel now after a 3-0 win over Burnley?
How was it negative? I was just highlighting areas that are concerned still. You know, like, and obviously, I was highlighting a concern, obviously, about the goal difference. But obviously now we've got a 4-goal cushion. It means that Leicester would have to score 5 goals against Spurs to beat our goal difference, which they're not going to do, even on their best day. So for me, that guarantees 4th now for me. Guarantees that. I think we'll beat Palace. The only thing now is whether the Chelsea will bottle against Villa for us to get 3rd. But yeah, I feel good. But still mad. I think the stat is we had, I think it's like 20 shots. It's 3 being on target. It's crazy. You know, so it still shows you that obviously there's some areas where we can tighten up. But look, we won. We've got good goal difference. And top 4 is in our grasps. So, and we thought that was impossible 2 months ago.
So exactly. That's the biggest thing. We thought it was impossible, especially after the whole mayhem with Madrid, all that stuff. I don't know if a lot of us thought it was possible, but Sophie, how are we doing after this 3-0 victory? Once again, back-to-back matches, you predict a scoreline 100% accurate. So, go off, queen.
I think maybe I should have done these like the entire time. Actually, like, I should have done these because everyone laughed at me. Was like, "Oh, 3-0, you're being very optimistic, aren't you?" Yeah, well, I was fucking right, wasn't I? That was. Do you know what? I'll give it to him. The first 20 odd minutes was dicey. Was not the best performances, but as me and Steve were saying on the live stream, the watch along, there were elements of really good football going on. Like Thiago was playing absolutely brilliantly. Bobby was everywhere. You knew it was going to come. You just needed the game to settle. And once it settled and the goals opened, and it was just like heaven. Just seeing those goals go in, and then Nat Phillips standing on the freaking goal line, saving it again. That's twice he's done that now. Got his head on everything. Like, I am just buzzing. Seeing us in top 4 now with a better goal difference is an incredible, incredible feeling. And I can't believe that me a year ago wouldn't think once that saying top 4 is an amazing achievement to get. Like, I would not, this time last year, I would not have been happy with top 4 knowing we were winning the Prem. But after the season we've had, oh, I've just seen Phillips' goal again. But after the season we've had, like, I am so proud of the boys for this. Like, they've worked hard. One more game to go. One more game. One more win, and it's ours. And I'm fucking 9.
I honestly completely agree. I am absolutely buzzing right now. I'm on cloud 9. Nat Phillips, better than Diaz. He's better than everybody right now. Nat Phillips is the best center back in the world. Let's go. I'm buzzing. But Chris Welch, I think this sums it up. We're all buzzing. We're all jacked up. But it's a good away win at a tough place. Still need to bring this momentum going into the final day. Palace, it's not done yet. Let's not have the giggles. One more win needed up the Reds. And I will say too, Chris Welch is going to be in Anfield for the last match, which I think is absolutely phenomenal for the Liverpool team. Having his honesty in that building is going to be fantastic for the team. Absolutely awesome. We have another commenter from Periscope. Appreciate you hopping in here. I really want Villa to draw against Chelsea and Leicester to win. Honestly, that is best case scenario. If that happens, you know, I have one of my best, one of my friends from college who I shouldn't say he's a friend anymore. He's actually kind of a piece of shit. He's a Chelsea fan, talks a lot of shit. If that happens, you best believe I'm going to be blowing him up and making sure that he knows that that they're absolute bottlers, absolute bottlers. So we'll see what happens. In the chat here, you got Alan. Welcome back, Alan. Appreciate you, man. Love Phillips' interview. Goal line clearance was his favorite thing. That was absolutely massive for me, too, listening to that post-match press conference from him. The fact that he scored his first ever goal for Liverpool, he deserved that so much, by the way. But the fact that he was more proud of that goal line clearance tells you everything you need to know about the lad. And I really hope that he's willing to play more of a bench role and stay on the team next year because he absolutely deserves it. And he'd save us $18 million and not have to keep Quebec if he's willing to do it. That being said, I want to get your thoughts on that. Would you guys rather have Quebec or Phillips back next year?
Ooh, if you'd have asked me this a week ago, I'd have hands down just said Quebec. He's got more potential. He's younger. I'd have gone for Quebec. But after seeing what Phillips puts in, I'm just thinking fourth choice centre back. But whether he wants to be fourth choice centre back, and that's the issue that keeps going round to. But I think if you gave me an option now, I think I'd rather have Phillips. I just love him. Just love him. I think I'd rather keep him.
I would. As good as Phillips is done, I'd go for Quebec. I just don't think we're gonna keep Quebec. To be honest, I don't think the money's there for him after having to pay 40 million up front for Konate. So I think Liverpool are having to choose where to spend money on. And I think they, you know, that's why they're not gonna keep Quebec. But Phillips, you know, you can't knock him. He's been really good. So, you know, he deserved the goal. He's man of the match today for me. So I wouldn't begrudge keeping Phillips next season. I'd still want another centre back, ideally, but I don't think we're going to get one.
Agreed. I think we need another centre back as well. But it's funny because I always said Quebec. So it's interesting, right? It's like if you're from a financial perspective, I'd much rather keep Phillips, let Quebec go. But if you're talking about long term upside, I think it's Quebec. I still just think Quebec has all the traits to be a world class center back one day. He's not there yet. He still has a lot to learn, and he's very passionate about being at Liverpool. But I just think Nat Phillips, I mean, absolutely colossal. Playing next to an incredibly young and raw guy, and Williams. And still putting out these man in the match performances is absolutely great. Chris Welch, I'm so happy you brought this up because I literally was just about to bring. I was literally just about to say this as my transition. Rahomi called Quebec to Turkish Lovren weeks ago.
And we got into, you remember that?
I still stand by it.
Argument being Rahomi got into like that.
I still stand by that, Chris. I haven't said when I said we just keep Quebec, not because I think he's good enough. I said we're not going to buy anyone else. Like if Liverpool aren't going to have the money to buy another top centre back because of having to pay 40 million up front for, you know, Konate. So there isn't going to be money for that. So if you're talking about keeping Quebec or signing no centre back, then I'd rather keep Quebec. But you know, obviously, we're not going to get another centre back that's going to cost 30 or 40 million. You know, I'm still not overly convinced by Quebec, but I'd rather take him and have no centre back. Because you know he can still do a decent job at fourth or fifth choice centre back.
Agreed. But I agree with that. I agree with that. And I think Alan makes a good point here too. He thinks that we won't sign Quebec because Phillips has confidence in Billy the Kid. But I also think he has confidence in Williams. Those two guys I would love to see go out on loan to championship level clubs. I think they could both do well in that. Or maybe Billy the Kid does another year of the U23s, but I think that would be very, very good for both of those guys. And Nat Phillips would be a great stopgap for a deep bench option. But I think if you can go out and get 20 mil, something like that for Matip, you know, that might be a little bit of a stretch with his injury history, but if you can go out and get 20 million for Matip, that'd be absolutely massive. That would cover more than half the cost for Konate. Then you have to then maybe look at adding one more person into the mix there, I'd be very, very comfortable with our top three being Konate, Virgil, and Gomez, especially with the uncertainty of Gomez. I would say Konate is probably the number two option right now if he does come in. But getting back to the main match, Sophie, I want to kind of start with you. You know, what were your overall thoughts on the actual match? Obviously, we won 3-0, but another slow start.
Yeah,
it really took us about 30 minutes to find our comfort. But that's Liverpool starting to kind of show that that's what we've been all season.
Yeah, I think overall performance, it definitely got better. Like as the game went on, we saw, I think it was a solid performance. Being genuinely honest, I think it was a really solid performance from the lads. You know, this is a Burnley side that we know are going to have two banks of four, and we talk about it all the time how it's so difficult to cut through those two rows, those two banks. It's so difficult, especially when they're on set pieces. They were a major threat on them. I think Alisson's out with them superbly. Nat Phillips and Rhys Williams were able to clear everything nice and calmly and just kept it simple at the back. They weren't doing anything fancy. They weren't trying to be, you know, elaborate. They just did good old-fashioned football, cleared their lines and passed it on. I can't actually think of any of the players who I think really had a bad game. I think some players had much better games than others, but everyone kind of held their own and, you know, carried their own weight, you know, effectively. I mean, I can't really complain about that performance. I mean, I've seen us play better football, yes. But, you know, at a time where it's so important that we get a win, I said yesterday, I don't care if it hits 12 people. I don't care if it's a dodgy little flicky game, you know, goal at the end and, like, extra time. I don't really care. All I cared about was getting the win. And I think it was a solid performance, and it was a good job of us to, you know, to hold on to it, and not only hold on but capitalize, and not have this 1-0 win into the second half, and just, you know, concede in the 80th minute. So overall, I was quite happy with the performance from the boys. I don't think you could really ask for more, considering the way things are at the minute. And I think if you're asking for significantly more than that, you kind of need to screw your head on properly and just take into account what we're trying to achieve, and any goal is worth it now. I don't care what it's like, don't care how we win, but I was happy. I'm happy. I'm buzzing.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that concerns me, and I know Wahome's gonna agree, and I want to get Wahome's opinion too, is that when we play good teams, we can't allow this to happen. Luckily, we've played West Brom, Burnley. Now we have Crystal Palace at home in front of our fans. And again, we know our injury problems. But I will say that as of late, we're starting to go back to believers and not being so much of doubters as we were kind of all season. And I think the lads even feel that now as well. It's like they spend the first 20, 30 minutes trying to get a feel of the game, and then they start playing it. Because it again, just like West Brom, first 20 minutes was incredibly dodgy, incredibly shaky. And then all of a sudden, we just turned it on and just were significantly the better team. But, Wahome, what were your thoughts overall on the match?
Overall, the match, it's great to get the 3-0 win. And it's obviously put us in a strong position for top four. So, in that case, yeah, it feels good. You know, they won three away games in a row at some tricky places. So, you know, obviously it's good that we're getting this form overall and getting the wins that we need. But I still think, you know, obviously if we're looking at it for long term, then, you know, there's still areas obviously that Liverpool need to really fix up on. You know, if we're looking at it from an overall analysis, you know, the stats still say we had 20 shots on target and no 20 shots on goal, 3 on target. You know, obviously, if you're playing a better team, you're going to get punished, because Burnley had 10 shots in overall, 4 on target, and at least 2 of those are big chances they missed. So, you know, in a different, if you're looking at that side, the areas obviously where Liverpool can improve on. I think, you know, it's something we have to look at in the summer, because obviously I don't think that's sustainable, you know, really, because we should be putting these teams to bed, you know, and, you know, we've said it before countless times that we need to be more clinical. But, you know, the most important thing today is we got the win. and we move on. But you know, there were some standout performers. I think like Phillips had an exceptional game, made some good clearances and deserves his goal. And I thought Williams also had a good game as well. Yeah, there was a few times we were shaky, but I thought overall Williams did okay. And then I just wanted to highlight again Thiago. The guy was outstanding again today. Like, if you look at his stats, it says here, had 107 touches. He won 5 out of 7 long balls, 3 out of 4 dribbles, he won 6 out of 12 ground duels, had 2 tackles, most of any centre midfielder. It's another masterclass from him. You know, so
that's why I brought him in. And that actually kind of leads me to my next point here, because we had a comment from Periscope here from Dominic. Starting to worry about Reece versus Benteke. Is it time to return Fabinho as center back? And I would say absolutely not. Now, there's been 8 matches where Fabinho and Thiago have played together in the midfield. And those 8 matches, we are 7 wins, 1 draw, 0 losses. No shot in hell that Fabinho goes back to center back. He would probably be our best center back, but he's also one of the best number sixes in the world, if not the best number six in the world. So I don't think there's any shot that he goes back to center back. And honestly, you know, Reece Williams, I can't believe I said Reece James, but Reece Williams, he has, you know, he makes these small mistakes every game. He did make a mistake against West Brom that led to a goal. But it seems that after he makes one mistake, maybe 2 mistakes, he cleans it up 100%. And he was absolutely solid today. Absolutely solid. Our defense hasn't been the problem. I think Wahome hit it on the head. The problem all season has been we can't score goals and we can't be clinical. It takes us, like you said, it takes us 10 shots to get the first one on target and get a goal. That's been the problem all season. It hasn't been our defense. Even the fact that we're at our number 6 and number 7 option center backs right now, like, and we still the biggest problem is not being clinical. That's really it. No, that's really it. So I don't know. Zaha will spin Williams, but Zaha plays out on the wing. He's gonna be going up against Trent.
See, I just want to go on to this one. Imagine Zaha and Benteke versus Reece Williams. Okay, so we've just had Cavani against Reece Williams. We've had Rashford against Reece Williams. We've had Chris Wood against Reece Williams. All these players that before the United game, Cavani and Rashford were the ones where you're going, oh my God, and Bruno Fernandes, they're going to turn him inside out. They're going to absolutely destroy him. Oh, he held his own ground against him really well. Okay, well, how's he going to go against Chris Wood? He's having his best season so far. Okay, he's held his ground really well against Chris Wood. And now you're going, oh, well, now Zaha and Benteke. I'm sorry, but Zaha and Benteke aren't that fucking good. You know.
Benteke is not good. And now Phillips will be all over him.
Yeah. And don't forget that you're saying, he's going to spin, you know, Williams. But you've got Phillips next to him and you've got Trent and you've got Robbo. And I think collectively that back four are kind of gelling at the minute. It seems to be working because Trent's bombing up a lot more on the pitch. He seems to have a little bit more faith.
LSC Gamer says Zaha is quick. Rashford is fast as Zaha. Didn't do him. Greenwood came on. He's fast. Didn't do him. I think you just have to, at one point, just, you know, put aside the agenda. That's clear. And just, you know, accept that he wouldn't get done by these players.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course, yeah, there were some nervy moments. But, you know, he's coming against better players that haven't done him. So, like, yeah, you know.
I think you mean coincidence, Chris.
Yeah, he means coincidence. He means coincidence. Let's not give him a hard time. I'm not gonna give it. Chris Wells, I'm never gonna give a hard time to. He's the absolute man. Everyone in the chat, though, you guys are on fire. Keep it up. Love to get your opinions on the match. Hit that like and subscribe button if you haven't yet. On the road to 500, so we appreciate you all. But I wanted to get your guys' opinion as well on Sadio Mane today, because, look, we got the win. He got an assist, and it was an absolute beautiful assist for Nat Phillips. But, again, just second half of the season, he's just really not been the Sadio Mane that we've seen. Is that a big concern for you, Soph, going into the last match here?
No. I don't understand why everyone's so panicked about Mane scoring goals, because It'll come back to him next season when he's had a good break. Mane's not had a break. He's been.
Yeah, but I will say, listen, I agree with you. I agree with you. I'm not concerned long term. But it's not just the goal scoring. It's just like his passing's been off. He's not beating guys one-on-one like he used to. Like, I think it's fair to say that in the second half of the season, he's been pretty far below average for Sadio Mane. Without a doubt.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and defend Mane and say, like, oh, he's been great. He hasn't. But I'm not worried. The question was, am I worried about it? And no, I'm not worried about it because I know the rest of the team around him is able to pick up and is able to raise him up. You know, Wahome in our game, in our trivia before, we were like, would you rather be a shit player in a good team? Or would you rather be a good player in a shit team? And we were all like, oh, well, I'd rather be a shit player on a good team. And then we're like, oh, well, they bring it up around them. So even when you're not at your best, the good players around you bring you up. So I'm not worried about Mane's form, no, because it will come back. Am I disappointed with it? That's a different question. Yes, I am disappointed with Mane's form. And yes, I expect more from him. But I'm not worried about it because it'll come back. You know, this second half of the season, it's not the Mane we're used to seeing. No, it's not, but it will return and we'll see Mane next season. I've no doubt about it. Back to like turning people, spinning people, chipping it. I'm not concerned. And I think if next season comes and we're still seeing this situation with Mane, then I will feel concerned about it. But right now, no, I'm not. I'm disappointed in him and I expect more, but I'm not worried about him.
Do you think he's in his own head, Wahome? Like, he even came out and said that he knows he's not playing well. He even tried to see if there was something, like, physical that was going on. Like, do you think that his performances are maybe even a little bit mental at this point where he's getting in his own head?
I think so. I think it's a combination of fatigue, beating himself up in terms of confidence, and trying too hard at times. I mean, you have to give him credit. He did get the assist for Phillips' goal. So, you know, he got the assist for Salah's goal against Burnley. So, you know, he has been doing some stuff, which is obviously just not the level he's going to be expecting to be. I'm just hoping it's just fatigue. I think that Mane could do with a long rest. We had John Gibson. He was saying that it could be the case where, you know, Mane lives alone. He's single. And maybe it's also, you know, the fact that he's not got people around him could also be a bit massive. Is he not?
No, Mane's got a long-term girlfriend and a stepson. He just keeps them very private. They don't have nothing to do with social media.
So okay.
He's been with her for quite a few years. I think he's been with her since he joined Liverpool, to be honest. But she's not in any form of thing. I think that's like a misconception that a lot of people have, that Mane's lonely because he's away from his family and Mane's not got anyone, but he has, and he's made a family while he's here, otherwise he wouldn't have stayed here. I think he's just he's his own worst critic. He has far too many high expectations of himself, and if he doesn't reach his own
he's
failed.
So
right.
No, you missed. There it is. There it is. Yeah.
His wife, right?
Yep. Sophie's right again.
What a surprise!
Right? Look at that. The girl's on fire.
I feel like we need the Alicia Keys song right now.
Chris Welch, to be honest, I was messing around with Colm Mané, whereas Raleigh, he'll be back next season. Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's been off. He's been right this season. You know, I think we can all agree with you that Mane's been one of the best left wingers in the world since he's been here. You know, he's been due for a bad season, considering the fact of how little time he's had off. Like, he has had pretty much no time off at all. I think his longest stretch was 2 or 3 weeks that he's had off since he's joined Liverpool. So, no surprise at all. Genie20 in the chat here: when we get our defense stable, the front three will do less defensively, so they'll save the energy to smash it. I think that's part of it, but I mean, you can't deny that they have had some glorious chances to score goals and haven't made the most out of it. I mean, I think for them also, though, it's just like, we've actually created a ton of chances from Virgil, from Henderson, and not having those guys in there and having to play a lot of the season with guys not playing their natural positions has impacted them as well. I definitely think that that's definitely been a factor. Dave's my our absolute bro, get in Reds, cannot agree more. Why are people saying that we can't get Kane? I just think it's because he's 29 years old. He's going to cost over $100 million. If we're going to spend over $100 million on a player, it's going to be somebody who's in their mid to early 20s, in my opinion. Yeah. Sophie, what do you think on that?
I think it's more a case of not that we can't get Kane, it's that we don't want Kane. We broke the mold when we brought Thiago, 29-year-old midfielder. But we bought him because of what he's capable of. We've actually seen commentators actually talk about Kane in Tottenham games over the last two seasons, saying that he's dropping back into a cam roll more than an out-and-out striker. Kane's not that quick. Kane's quite slow. Kane gets injured. He fouls well. And I don't see how, as a Liverpool fan, I can sit there and criticise Kane for his shithousery where he dives underneath players, where he looks and he turns and he's going to break someone's neck one day. I don't want to play like that at my club. That's shit. That's dirty tactics. I don't want that. And again, like you've just said, Steve, if he's going to cost over $100 million and he's at the end of his career, why would you waste that money when Liverpool have never spent over $100 million? Like, under Klopp, we've never bought anyone. I think our biggest signing was Virgil, still at $75 million. You know, that's not how we do business. We don't go out and buy 100 odd million players at the end of their career. I just don't see it happening. I don't think that we can't have them. I think if we wanted him and we offered Spurs the money, I'm sure we could probably get him. But I don't think we want him. We've only been linked to him because all of a sudden it's, oh, well, Kane wants to leave. That's the only reason. We were never linked to him before. No one wanted him before 2 weeks ago.
I actually think he'd fit well with us because, especially this season, he's done so well at tracking back and like being involved. I don't think his pace is an issue at all. For me, it's more of he's going to be 28 when next season starts. He's proven that he can't play an entire season without getting injured. And there's going to be the English tax on him. So it's going to be like $120-130 million. And I would much rather go out and get somebody who is like somebody mentioned here. I think Chris, like we could get Aurier and Daka for less than probably about half the cost as Harry Kane would be.
Yeah.
Like that's, I mean, Daka is not an option. I don't think, Daka is going to Leipzig. But even like we could get Malin and Aurier for half the cost of what Harry Kane would be.
Look, if we're going to buy someone that might as well go for Haaland then. Exactly.
That's my point. Exactly. Like, if you're gonna spend that kind of money, go get a Haaland who likes Liverpool, who's still 20 years old. I don't think he can buy. Like, he wouldn't be able to buy a beer in the States yet. Like, that's the kind of guy that that we'd want to bring in. So Firmino is slow. Is that bad? No. I think Harry Kane this year kind of moved us. He's Harry Kane's a better finishing Firmino, especially this season. Like he's done a great job at tracking back, at pressing, and getting involved.
And assists. He's got more assists than any of our strikers as well. He's been very creative this year, Kane.
Yeah,
he's got 14 assists in the Premier League. But yeah, Kane's not going to come to Liverpool. Tottenham aren't going to send him to Liverpool anyhow. So I think it's a moot point. If he doesn't get anywhere. Abroad.
Parth has a good question here, and welcome back, Parth. I forgot to shout you out when you joined back in here. If we bring in Sancho, which whether we want to agree or not, that's a possibility. Do you think we need to bring in a striker? I say yes. I honestly, and Dave LFC's chats, if you're still in here, I want to get your opinion on this. I think we need a winger and a striker because I think we need to have Jota and Sancho as options and then have a true striker as an option. I would love to bring in a Milan, somebody like that. Everyone's going to disagree with me. I know right when I say this, everyone's going to disagree with what I'm about to say. I would absolutely love a guy like Giroud off the bench. A guy who is world class at heading the ball. We know we love to whip balls in. A guy who just can just sit up top and cause pressure. I think he'd be phenomenal off the bench for us.
I agree that we need two attackers, a striker and a wide forward. You know, I'd love it to be Sancho, and then to get like a Marlin in. Someone that, you know, that would be perfect. Are we going to do it? I just don't see it.
I would take Tammy.
I don't like Tammy Abraham. I think he misses too many chances. He needs 5 shots to score 1 goal. I don't think that's great. But I think Jude is good. That's what someone might say. Would you take Suarez on loan? Suarez.
Random grubber. Appreciate you, man. Hit that. Yo, if you don't mind subscribing to us, man, welcome to the chat. We appreciate you. I think Drew would be a great plan B. Lorato Martinez as well. Enter. He could be a solid option. I would 100% take Suarez back if we could. No question about it. Because he was a guy, like, for me, it's like, think about how Coutinho left. You know what I mean? Like, I have no hard feelings about Suarez leaving. Like,
no, either.
English media, like, were all over him for everything. And, yeah, he didn't help himself with, like, biting Ivanovic and, like, racially abusing Patrice Evra, shit like that. But he's class. He's still class. He probably just clinched Atletico Madrid to win the La Liga this year. 100%, I would take him back, and fuck it, I would even start him. You kidding me? I would start him at the 9, play Firmino in the 10, go to a 4-2-3-1 next year, and wipe my hands with it. 100%. What do you think, Soph?
I wouldn't be against coming back, having Suarez, you know, to be honest. I liked Suarez. Anyway, I didn't like him biting people, but I liked Suarez, and I've got no issues about how, like Steve said, I've got no issues about how he left. None at all. Would never ever think about taking Coutinho back, but I do agree with you. We definitely need an out and out striker, someone who is always going to get those goals, always going to be right in front of the box when you need them. Like, you know, we're not going to get Haaland, but we need somebody who does the job that Haaland does. That's what we need. And we do need a backup winger.
this is a great comment. I don't like Suarez. No, listen, no, LFC Gamer, like, yeah, like, I really just acknowledge that. We didn't say Kane was dangerous. That never came out of our mouth. We just said he's injury prone.
No, I did.
He's dangerous to other people physically.
Yeah, he's just going to cause people. He's going to break someone's neck one day. And I don't want him being in a Liverpool shirt when he does it.
And he's at the Palace game. That's a good blow. Good bonus.
See, but I'd also – people will come for me for this opinion. But I've just got a soft spot for this. I'd like Tammy Abraham. I like him so much. Like, when Chelsea were in their ban and they weren't allowed to be in the transfer window and they played Tammy Abraham and they played the kids, he was so good for them. He gave everything and he was so quick. He was really good at reading the game. He was good at recoveries and – he was always in the right. He was always in those pockets of space, and I could see him working really well at Liverpool. And I feel like it's sad that he's been dumped now by Chelsea essentially, because basically what Chelsea have done is they're like a couple. Tammy was in a relationship with Chelsea, and everything was fine, and they were all happy. And then a more expensive model came along, and Chelsea went, "Oh no, don't want you. You're the girl next door," and went and got the pretty like supermodel. And you're forgetting that you had something really good to begin with. And I would take Tammy Abraham in a heartbeat at Liverpool.
Doesn't Tammy have more goals than Timo Werner in the Premier League this year?
Yeah.
Pretty sure he does. And pretty sure Alisson only has 2 less goals than Timo Werner, too. I could be wrong, though.
he's almost there. Alisson needs, is it, 1 more goal?
I think Timo has 3 Premier League goals.
No, who is it? It's...
I will say Timo Werner leads the league in disallowed goals. that's for damn sure.
We need a striker that's going to finish. Tanya is not going to finish goals for you.
Giroud will, though. Love, I'm telling you, Giroud would be perfect. When he'd be our new version of Peter Crouch.
He would, but I don't think he.
I love
Crouchy. Would Chelsea come to us, would he?
See, he knows how to put the ball in the net. See, Dominic, yes, my man.
Booyah, you know, the big game.
See, big game. I thought I was going to get so much hate for this, and so far a lot of people are agreeing with me about Tammy Abraham.
Because he wouldn't demand starter minutes. He would be.
Still
the issue, though. Who's going to finish your goal, sir?
No, we're not saying that you need to get Tammy Abraham in replacement of someone else. Tammy Abraham is a young kid. Shut up!
We don't need someone to sit on the bench, though. We need someone to start for us.
We do! We need bench! You sit there! Oh, don't shush me!
It's not you. That wasn't towards you. It was towards Mahomie.
We don't need someone on the bench, though. We need a starter. Amos is going to cost at least 20 million. 25 million.
One of these days, you're going to let me finish my sentence before you jump down my throat. One of these days, you'll let me finish and you'll let me get my point out, which when you hear the end of it, you probably won't need to say what you're going to say.
Say it then.
So, Tammy Abraham is young. He isn't going to demand lots of minutes, okay? He's a good bench player. We do need starter players. I'm not saying we don't. But we're talking hypothetically here. If we had unlimited funds, what would we be doing? I'd be getting Tammy Abraham in alongside the things we've just mentioned, an all-out-and-out striker, a starter, a superstar. Yes, I'd be doing that. But your biggest problem and our biggest problem and mine is when we look at our bench, we've got no squad depth. And how many times have you said yourself, look at our bench, who have we got on there who you can come on and impact the game? If you've got a young Tammy Abraham on that bench who can come in and make an impact on that game, isn't that what you wanted anyway?
No, so I don't agree.
But I'm not saying for 1 second that we don't need out and out starting players. We do. But I'm saying in a hypothetical scenario, in a, you know, an ideal world, I'd also take Tammy Abraham. And where's the harm in that?
Can I bother to you? I've seen Abraham miss sitters for Chelsea in big games countlessly. And not
seen Mane miss sitters. And we've seen Bobby miss sitters. And we've seen...
We've seen Werner
miss sitters. We've seen Ziyech miss sitters. We've seen Haaland miss them. Every player misses them. They're not going to score 100%. No one has 100%
conversion. Not the level Abraham has. Mane was a one-off season this season, but not the level that Abraham is. I wouldn't want him, personally, for me. I don't think he's good enough to be a Liverpool bench.
Okay, well, I don't think you're good enough.
Whoa. Whoa.
I love that comment.
Oh, he whips out the shush. He whips out the shush.
I love this. Mum and dad are fighting again while Steve sat underneath just eating food. I mean, you buggered off halfway through.
I'm eating a baguette while you guys are fighting. This is great. But trying to draw things back to the match here. Do you think a better striker than Chris Wood would have killed us today? Because yeah. I think a better striker than Chris Wood would have at least gotten one goal today.
Yeah. But he didn't, so.
I'm just saying, you know, it's – I don't think it's a problem long-term because someone's going to be partnered with Van Dijk. It won't be a big deal. But I think we're lucky that we have the run-in that we do.
Yeah,
you know,
this is the first time we've had a nice
running. Seriously, right? This is the easiest running that we've had probably in a decade.
I know, because normally you look at our run at the end and go, oh, City, you've got an easy one. Oh, United and Chelsea, they've got an easy one. And we've got like United, City, Spurs, Arsenal, then Burnley. And you're going, really? Why? But then this is the first year where we've actually had an all right running to the end.
Jay Doc, hey, he is a recurring guest on the show. Appreciate you coming in with Jay Doc. When all players are fit, who's partnering Phillips at the back? I'm telling you, man, Phillips has earned his stripes. Phillips has earned the right to call himself a Liverpool player. And I also think that he's earned the right to decide what he wants. You know, if he were to approach Klopp this offseason and say, I want to go to a place where I can be a starter. I think he's absolutely earned that right. That being said, I pray to God that he is open to being our fourth or fifth option, because just the idea of him starting next to Virgil, or worst case scenario, starting next to a Gomez or even a Konate, salivating over that. All those guys have enough pace to cover for him, and then just having his aerial ability would be absolutely massive. Like Seamus says, like Phillips and Van Dijk, nothing would get past them. I 100% agree with that. Rory's last game is on Sunday. Everyone plays at 11 a.m. Eastern time, my time. So that would be 1600 your time for sure. So, I mean, looking ahead to that, Chelsea's 1 point ahead. I think we're tied with them on goal differential.
No, we're better goal difference.
We're up by one. Mm-hmm. What is your early predictions? I'm not saying I'm holding you to this for our pre-match on Saturday. Early predictions, though. Do you think that we do enough to secure top four, or do you even think that we secure top three?
I think we are doing enough to get top four. It's not set in stone. We are doing enough to get top four, but we are also capable of getting top three. And that's about as much as I'm going to say on it until the feels kick in on Saturday. That's as much as I'm going to say. What about you, Rahomi?
Top four's done for me. It's now about third. Leicester aren't going to win 5-0 against Spurs. Not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see us losing to Crystal Palace, or even drawing Crystal Palace at home. Like, it would take them literally to not do anything offensively and play with 10 men behind the ball at all times.
Eze's out injured now.
If there's no Eze, like that's a huge blow for them. Really, their only dangerous player would be Zaha, and like I'm not worried about Benteke. That's why we have Nat Phillips. He would hit an asteroid away. I'm not worried about that. Seamus at home with fans, we'll see a performance. I completely. But Jay Doc too. I know what Homie said, his little piece on Thiago. What do you think, Sophie? Because this, in my opinion, the last five matches, this is why we brought Thiago in. I'm salivating at the thought of next season seeing him with Henderson and Fabinho in the midfield. So, like, what do you think about Thiago so far in these last like month or so?
Oh, I love him. I absolutely love that man. Like, he's so brilliant at what he does. And you can see now, can't you, the reasons why we bought him. And you can see why we broke the mold to sign him. He's so creative. He's so forward thinking. Like, he's never thinking, oh, let's pass the ball back. He's always just recycle and go forward again. And you're finally seeing that quality of him. And yeah, like Alan said, the Thiago and Trent link up so well, because I've said this previously, when Trent doesn't have someone on that right hand side who he trusts, he won't bomb forward. And I think him and Thiago are now building up that connection, that Trent feels more confident, because normally he's got Hendo on that side. So when he's got Hendo there, he's always confident that he can bomb up on that Hendo. And whoever's in centre-back, which would normally be Gomez or Matip, are there to cover him on the back side, or Fabinho to slot in for him. He's always been comfortable with that. And I think it shook Trent at first when obviously Henderson got moved out and Thiago was in there. But they're linking up so well. And I said today for this game, Thiago is going to be the standout player for me. And he's going to be the reason that we get through that two rows of four. He was everything tonight. He was everywhere. And like you just said, Steve, you are literally, your mouth is watering. Like, you are just dying for next season to start already, so you can see the full potential of this man with the team that he was meant to be put in. We've got a vengeance, because we're going to come back with a vengeance, and I just can't wait. I really, really can't wait. He's just... And this isn't even the best that's yet to come of him as well. Like, this is just a small glimpse of it, and you're already sat there giddy like a child at Christmas. But
it's crazy, because right, you just made a phenomenal point about Thiago and Henderson's link up I mean, Thiago and Trent's link up, and then but like what Henderson has done for Trent. And when Henderson gets healthy, he's going to go back in on that right side of a 4-3-3, which means Thiago's going to go to the left side. And he has that master class ability to do the same exact thing with Rabo. So now you imagine having that on both sides all the time. Like we always talk about how when Genie's in there on the left side compared to Milner on the left side, you see a huge difference in Rabo going forward.
Yeah.
And you're going to have that ability when Thiago goes to that side. It might take a few games, but he's going to have that connection with Rabo as well. Yeah. And I still think, though, next season we're going to move more to a 4-2-3-1 anyway. So, like, that just makes me salivate even more, allowing Thiago to have the freedom to play, like, a Gerrard role and just go anywhere on the pitch that he's needed. Like, that's why we signed him. That's what we're going to have to look forward to, and I cannot wait for that. But, well, homie, I know you're kind of passionate on this topic, so I wanted to bring this in. You know, Fabinho was a little bit disappointing today. I think we all agree. I think this was the first time in a long time he was the worst midfielder on the pitch today. Parth here thinks that this might be a reason why we need Bissouma. I think Bissouma's fine. I think he'd be a solid bench option for us. But I think that I'd much rather see us address the attacking side of the midfield, not so much the defensive side. What are your thoughts on this comment?
Yeah, I think I would prefer, as I said before, an attacking player. I think, again, you know, today's game showed again where, you know, like, you know, the downside, if Ox was fit more regularly and could stay fit, then you saw, obviously, what he brought in terms of that goal off the bench, you know. But the problem with, obviously, Ox is very consistent and he's not always fit, so that's where it's a big blow in him. But yeah, we need someone that would be able to score those goals from distance like Ox does, take the shots. You know, there are times, obviously, you know, in that game we are thinking when Gini or Fabinho or Thiago near the edge of the box, why don't they take a shot? You know, and I think that's where I think, again, I think we're going to end up going for a defensive player and not an attacking player, because I think we're going to go with thinking that, you know, obviously Thiago can do it playing forward. But the only thing I'd say with Thiago is top-class player, no doubt, world-class, but he's never won for goals and assists in his career. Right. I think that's the only downside with him. He's never won for that. And I don't think that's going to change next season with him playing further forward. I think he'll create more, but I don't think he's going to get many goals or assists in that sense. But I think I just feel that Klopp's going to go with that instead and not get two CMs and get Bissouma in and then see what he does next summer. Because the one downside to Thiago is he's 30. You know, like, if Thiago was 24, 23, it'd be amazing. But he's 30, you know. Next summer, he'll be 31. So it's obviously with him, with a midfield as well, it's quite old. So it's just one of those things we have to start thinking about the following summer of changing that. But I just don't think he's going to get attacking one this summer. I think he's going to be a defensive one.
Well, this guy, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and like that. Renato Sanchez, I would have to go ahead and do a hard pass on that. He was absolutely trash for Swansea. And just wouldn't. I got to pass on that. I just don't think he's the right guy for us.
Yeah.
Same here.
I also don't want the same either, let's be honest. I don't want him.
Regardless of what he's done in France, I don't think he's that good.
I think he's solid. I think he could be a solid deputy, but I think that we are capable of getting better players for that price tag that he's gonna cost. I think we can find people who are going to be more impactful than he would be.
Yeah, I think obviously the options are that Bissouma or Forrest Niehaus. But I think obviously Bissouma is the first choice.
I don't want him. He fouls far too much for my liking, and he's not that good.
I didn't like him that much, but
then again, if we're going,
Alex Sanford loves him.
But if we're going,
I like this question. I like this question from Parth. Who would you take between DePaul or Aurier if you had to choose for attacking center mid?
The reason why I'd say Awa is because DePaul's amazing.
Oh my god, we agree.
So wow. The thing with DePaul,
mom and dad finally agree.
Oh my god, could you have sounded more American then?
Yeah, I know, right?
The thing with DePaul is that he's set up in Italy where he hasn't done much defending. You know, so he's allowed just to attack and he's not going to get that Liverpool. He's going to have to do some defending at Liverpool. And that's why I just think the system's built around him in Italy. He's not going to get that Liverpool. He's going to come out have to fit into a system. And I feel that Awa can play in the back three or in a 4-2-3-1. DePaul can't play in a 4-3-3. So I think that's the issue with him.
Yeah, I agree. I think Aurier is much more well-rounded, but also just has that more of ability. I still think, though, if you were to add Aurier, I don't think he would score a shit ton of goals or anything. I just think he would just add that dynamic. You know, I think if you had a few games where we started Thiago and him, it'd be pretty dangerous. But he just gives you that threat to shoot from the outside. I actually love this shout too, Savage from Lazio. I think that he could be a solid fit for us as well.
So, hey, you mean a bite clause, mate?
Oh no, I mean it's massive. I'm just saying in terms of take all that out, just how he'd fit on the team. I think it'd be solid.
The other guy I might take is Pellegrino at Roma.
Yes, I would. I would love Pellegrino.
I think it's in his contract nearly ending or something as well soon or something I saw. But yeah, we get him. But I just don't think we're going to get attacking one this summer. That's an infield. I think Liverpool are going to focus on the forwards, Kanate, and then Bissouma, and that's it.
Savage from Lazio, that's a good call, though, LFC Gamer. That's a name I haven't even thought about, to be honest with you. So J-Doc thinks that Keita and Ox shipped out this summer. How much should we get for him? Honestly, I don't think either one of them are going to be gone, to be honest. I would love to see both of them gone. But I don't think either one of them are going to be gone.
What do you agree with
that? J-Doc's comment here about Keita and Ox being shipped out. I honestly don't think either one of them are going to be gone.
I think only one would go, because I think this Naby stuff has legs to it. I feel, in terms of like Palace, Leicester, Atletico, I think it's got legs to it. And I think even that guy Sega, the one who broke Keita coming to Liverpool, the Mali Ghanaian journalist. He was one that said as well, like, Keita looks like he might be going. So,
the thing about Keita is that, like, if he has another injury-filled season, his value is going to dip significantly. If there's interest and you can get 30-plus for him, you have to take that opportunity, in my opinion.
I just think, like, if we are going to get rid of Keita this summer, then I'd want to use him for Dortmund because they want him badly. You know, so I would want to use him that way if we are going to get rid of Keita, rather than send him to Palace and that, give him to Dortmund to get Sancho. But I just feel that one of them is going to go.
You know, we completely derailed from the match. We haven't done man of the match. We haven't done anything about the match. We just kind of went, it was great, and then just transfer rumours.
I will say, though, I mean, there wasn't like... Like, you know, we talked about Nat scoring, how big that was for him. Like we won 3-0, but like it was just like kind of just like whatever. You know what I mean? It was just like we won 3-0. It was a slow start. We touched on that. We played much better in the second half. And now after that, it was just like whatever. And I think the chat's on fire right now. And I think the chat is offering some really good things to talk about. To be fair.
Gone, like, without an agenda, we've gone whoop.
Yeah, exactly. This is what happens when we wing it. But Gaurav here, I'm shows up on my timeline all the time about Aurier. Yeah, imagine what your timeline would have looked like when he was talking about Upam and Akano.
I didn't talk about Upam that much, actually.
Oh, Sophie has a tweet that sums that up.
Some of them, but not to the point.
LFC Gamer, honestly, I 100% agree with this, actually. Grealish would be my number one option as well. I would actually love it because he can play on the wing in a 4-3-3. He can play in the middle in a 4-2-3-1. He'd be phenomenal for us.
Yeah, just if only really want it after 100 million for him.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and Alan, imagine if Nas scored in this volley too. I know. I said that too. If he scored that, I would have been freaking out. Would have poopied in my panties.
Oh, God. I had a poopied in my panties.
Is Milano's contract ending this summer? No, he's got one more year left on his contract, I believe.
I think he signed
a 2-year last summer. That Reese will be a great center back one day. Send him to Stevie G for a couple of years. I actually would love that. That would be a great, great loan for him going over to Rangers. I think he'd thrive under Stevie G. Chris Welch chirping on me. Oh, we got Oreo posters now. Friendship is over. Oh, Chris,
there wasn't many
Chris
tweets.
Welch, I love you.
There were some tweets, but wasn't many for Upacom, though. Not as many as I did for a while. Because I think
Sophie can disprove that theory.
I'm not saying there aren't any tweets of me up Connor. I said not as many as a while. I've been going about a while since.
Oh, I don't even know what.
Sophie, save all the Aurier. Save all the Aurier.
There's not that many. Not compared to if you'd sit my
this while, is so. Just the top five Upamecano tweets I found. But I am going to sit here now, and once we finished here, and believe you me, young man, I am going to go and find every tweet you've put about Awa, and I'm going to put them in a massive, about 3 or 4 collage, and just go, you divvy.
All right, I'm going to cut off mom and dad here for a couple of seconds here.
Oh.
Alan, I think Millie, he thinks Millie is going to join the coaching team. I 100% agree with that, and I am begging for that to happen. He definitely needs to be part of the coaching staff when he retires. I would love to see that, and whoever is the next manager after Klopp, I would love to see him stay on. And our boy Doug, Doug's walking home from work right now. Love you, mate. Appreciate you hopping in. If you want to, hop on the live stream for a few minutes, let us know. I'll send you the link.
I didn't look past Konate.
Konate, I remember that Holmes looked past him. He didn't. No, Gaurav, he did not look past Konate. He did not. He did not. He actually said that he was quality, but he makes a lot of mistakes. So I actually agree with that because Konate does make a lot of mistakes right now at that team. But he does have all the characteristics to be a top class player. So that's the one thing I'll say. I'll agree with Wahomi in that regard.
Oh, this was so easy.
I said I don't have many open account as much as I have what.
I want to get Doug in here. I'm sending Doug the link because I want to get Doug's opinions. Because obviously, you know, he has a big following. He's got a 1,000 subscribers. Is that Aurier?
There, Aurier Awa. Since what's the oldest tweet on there is? Since December.
We do need
all of your tweets saying we need Awa since December.
I said that. I said there's not many tweets and many. Up in corners as well.
Canate and Marlon or Sancho this summer. Where's the other one? We need him. Would give anything for Awa. No doubt in it, but we need a new centre mid like Awa.
I agree. I mean, I'm not saying I disagree with him. I kind of agree.
I'm not disagreeing. I just find it so funny going and finding his tweets and winding him up. I just love it.
I don't know, but that's not winding me up because I said there's not many up in a Kanu as I've done at Awa.
No!
Our boy, the Dugout Podcast, is here. Doug, welcome in. Give us your thoughts on everything. You're mute, Dad. We can't hear you, mate.
You're mute.
You look beautiful, but we can't hear you, mate. Still can't hear you.
We're having slight technical issues.
Having some slight technical issues. He's gonna come back in. We love him to death.
We do
love him. If you guys haven't subscribed to the Dugout Football channel, please go do that. It's absolutely world class stuff. Parth Jane here brings up a good point. We definitely need a right back as well. Get some rest for TAA. I think Nico proved that he needs some time away from Liverpool. I think that he still has a future here. I just think that he needs to get some. He needs to have the ability to be able to make mistakes and still not lose the starting spot somewhere. Oh, we can hear you, Doug. How you doing, mate?
I don't know.
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Why did I put a Bible class Luis Alberto? Luis Alberto wasn't good enough for the Premiership. That's why.
Oh, now we've lost video.
Oh, God damn. We had the audio, and now we lost the video. But honestly, I think Nico still has a future at Liverpool, but I think he needs a year alone at a low level Premier League side where he can start every match. Like Sophie, homie, why don't you kick us off? What do you think about that?
Sold the wrong fullback.
He's what?
Sold the wrong fullback. Should have been Nico. Sold
the wrong fullback. Yeah, but would you have sold Hoiver to get Jota if it means selling Nico Williams and not getting Jota?
Yeah, I would have sold it, but would have done enforced a buyback clause and said, I want a buyback clause. Edwards can get money out of he got 20 million for Solanke. He can get it. If you force one, I said, look, we'll give you him. We want that. So
shut up, Sophie.
I'm not convinced about Nico Williams. Honest.
Oh, here we go. Hi, Doug. Try again.
Are you there? Can you hear us? You can't hear you. Fuck. We can't hear you. Doug, we heard you last time, Doug. We can't hear you now. I still can't hear you. We can see your beautiful mug. You look fantastic. I just can't hear you.
He's got like a gorgeous angle and lighting on there, hasn't he?
The light just hits his face so beautifully. Look at that. It's
50 minutes for eye. That's true. Are you using McDonald's Wi-Fi, Dad?
Got that McDonald's Wi-Fi. Dougie, we love you, mate. If you can figure out the audio, we'd love to have you in here. I don't know what that means. Can't hear you, mate. All right, I'm gonna remove you for a minute. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I'm like, why did we all get closer to the camera?
I was like, wait, we're gonna be able to hear it.
What?
All right, maybe Gaurav, Doug is a myth. Who's more of a myth, Doug right now or Tsimikas? Well then, I got it. No, can you hear us?
Can you hear me? No.
Yes!
He's back. Doug, I thought you were a myth, just like Ben Davies and Justus.
The myth, the legend.
Our main man, the Dugout Podcast, joining us last minute here. Doug, thanks for joining us on your walk, man. Quick questions for you, mate. Overall thoughts on the match? You know, we secured top four right now. As long as we win next week, we're at top four. What are your thoughts about how we played today?
I mean, I've only just seen the highlights, so I've actually just finished work, but I've just seen the highlights. But from what I've heard, we were absolutely fantastic tonight. And Nat Phillips is a boss, basically.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he heads everything into outer space. And he had a beautiful header goal. I would say the first 20 to 30 minutes was a little sloppy. And then the moment after that, we just completely flipped the switch and started playing a lot better. There was a few questions, though, from the chat that I wanted to get your opinion on. The most recent one that we talked about was Nico Williams. Do you think that Nico Williams is good enough to be a backup next season, or would you rather see him go out on loan and then bring in another guy to back up Trent?
Well, there's talk that Southampton are in for Nico Williams, because I did a preview a couple of weeks ago when we played Southampton, and my guest that day was a Southampton fan, and he was saying apparently Southampton are very interested in Nico Williams. So you could actually see some maybe business from Southampton's side of things. But look, I think the thing is Nico Williams is still young. So, you know, I think a loan would do him good. I think a Premier League club would be much better, I think, rather than a Championship club.
Yeah, I think Southampton actually would be a good fit for him, because you see what Kyle Walker-Peters has done with his time over there. And I think that Nico Williams could do a very similar type of thing at that sort of a club. You know, worst case scenario, they finish 15th. Best case scenario, they finish 8th. You know, they're that type of club. And I think that'd be huge for him, knowing that he can start every single match. I know you missed the match, Doug, but this was another phenomenal performance from Thiago. Nat Williams played great. Rhys Williams made one or two mistakes, nothing to cost us a goal. But other than that, was absolutely phenomenal in the back. What would you like to see from those two center backs next year? Obviously, we know that we have the option to buy Kabak for $18 million. I was all on board for that, but now I'm thinking, might as well keep Phillips. Not bring Quebec back, and then put Rhys Williams back at maybe somebody like a top championship side. What are your thoughts on that?
To be honest, I've been a big say to keep Phillips. I think Phillips has been absolutely fantastic throughout the season. Hasn't put a foot wrong. He's usually, you know, an eight or a nine out of ten. I know he had a bit of a bad game against West Brom, but you look to him tonight and. You know, he's just a no nonsense centre back. So I think the fact that we have Van Dijk, Gomez, Konate, and then Phillips, I think that would be absolutely fantastic defence for sure.
Yeah, you summed it up, and especially having a guy like Virgil or Gomez or Konate's pace next to him, it's a very formidable duo at centre back here, but. So, if you have any questions for our main man, Doug, here before we get to our man of the match?
No.
Other than the fact about how beautiful he looks right now?
That's not really a question. That's just more of a statement. He's lovely.
No. Yeah, please. The Dugout Podcast, if you guys follow us and don't follow the Dugout Podcast, go on YouTube right now. Yes. Find it. You'll see that he has 1,200 right now, I think it is.
Yeah, 1.2k, and I hit 100,000 views on the channel today, which is mental.
Absolutely mental. Yo, he not only does Liverpool, he does Scotland, he does all of the Premier League, he does all the good stuff. So go check out the Dugout Podcast. You will not be disappointed. Well, homie, any questions for Doug? Otherwise, I want to get to man of the match and then do some trivia before we go, because I want some Doug trivia.
trivia.
All right, so man of the match. Who's everyone's man of the match? I know, Doug, you didn't watch the match. Well, homie, let's start with you. Man of the match today.
Mine is Nat Phillips. Got his goal deserved. Got two headed clearances off the line. Was outstanding today. So, and dealt with everything Burnley had in the air. So I thought Nat Phillips was outstanding today.
All right, well, Sophie, we got.
Yeah, I'm going with what him said. Same reasons. I'm going with Phillips without a doubt.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with 1892 podcast and our main man here, Parth Jain. Thiago was my man of the match. I know Nat Phillips was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. But Thiago has boss again. Absolutely was phenomenal. LFC gamer Rhys Williams. I'll take that call, man, because other than the one mistake he made today, he was pretty fucking phenomenal. Early on in the game, he had that the shot on net where he cleared out with his head. It was absolutely phenomenal. But all right, let's get to some trivia. Sophie, I know you have a couple here, so why don't you, we'll kick it off. Kick it off with you.
Okay, okay. So first one, just a simple one. If you could only wear one color again for the rest of your life, what color would you pick?
Red.
So I will say this. Growing up my entire life, I always wanted to play for a football team that had the colors of black and red, because I just think those two colors go so well together. I've only had navy blue was the town I grew up in, and then my college was purple and gold. But I have to say that if I could only wear one color the rest of my life, it'd be white, because my girlfriend loves me in white, so I want to keep her happy.
Aww.
I'd go black. I love black.
Yeah,
black like your soul, homie.
I'd go black. No, I think I'd go with black as well, because
that's your soul too, Sophie. Because mom and dad fight all the time.
No, it's because I'm dead inside. I'm clipping that.
No arguments there.
Oh, shit. No, I go for black because I tend to gravitate towards black all the time. Like, it's just one of my favorite colors to wear. Like, when I'm pale, it looks fine because I look like death, and that's fine. I just look evil. And then when I'm tanned, it just looks nice with that. So I'm meaning I'd wear black.
Yeah. Gaurav, purple and gold, Drexel. Drexel is solid as fuck, but no, I went to a D2 school in the States here, D2. Most minutes played, by the way.
Okay, second one. If you could take a company off absolutely anyone and run it with all the money they have, whose company would you pick?
I would say either Walmart or Amazon, because I'm not a super greedy person, and I want to make sure that I take care of those employees, because they get fucking robbed by these companies. So I would like to take over one of those companies just so I can give those, especially the warehouse workers at those companies, like give those people the opportunity to make the money that they deserve, and give them the opportunity that they deserve, and the time off and all that shit. That's it. And no, Sophie's laughing. Oh, mama, why are you laughing, mama?
Because you came up with a really philanthropic ass, like really, really kind answer. It's just so funny.
I know what mine would be, because yeah. I absolutely love this ice cream. It's Häagen-Dazs.
Oh my god, Häagen-Dazs triple layer chocolate. Oh my god, that is some of the best. That is some of the best ice cream I've ever had. The little pint sized triple layer chocolate Häagen-Dazs is the best.
Well, Jamie, what about you?
Tesla.
Hold on, Pork Chain. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
We'll see you on Sunday.
What
about McDonald's? Improve their Wi-Fi. That's a great answer. Thanks, Alan.
You've all said something like somewhat reasonable. I want Elon Musk's company because I want to earn more money than I can spend. Like, he can never spend all his wealth. He can never get rid of it.
Yeah, you're selfish as fuck.
Yeah, but I just donate so much of it then. Like, I'd give so much money away to, like, animal shelters. And you know what I'd do? I'd go and buy a big fuck-off huge piece of land, and I'd make the world's biggest animal sanctuary, and I'd keep all the animals safe who are abused and neglected. So my reasons aren't completely and utterly selfish. But then again, I just want more money than I have. I want to have a room where it's decorated with all my money.
I like that.
Okay, and last one. One of the most embarrassing things that have ever happened to you.
Hey, Caught by Kev, welcome. Appreciate you having you. If you haven't yet, like this video, hit that subscribe button, Kev. Appreciate you. We're going to be doing some sick giveaways when the season's over, so make sure that you're subscribed, because that's going to help you win. Fun fact for everybody here, the giveaways that we're going to do this off season are pretty phenomenal. I've talked to a few people about jerseys, things like that. It's going to be hot.
It's gonna be hard. I didn't even know about it, so.
Yeah, it's because we don't tell mom everything. Men stick together.
You're grounded. You're grounded. I've had enough of you two tonight. Go to your room.
Quiet, mom. Quiet.
I need to
LSC Gamers is farting in class.
I got chucked out of a nightclub when I was 19 because I was way too drunk. One of my friends got me absent, and I basically fell asleep and then got chucked out.
That's pretty good. So when I was a senior in high school or junior in high school, I was 16. There was a big country music concert in my town, and at Gillette Stadium where the Patriots NFL football team plays. And I got in there, and I paid for like the cheapest tickets possible. Like I'm talking like $100. And I got so drunk when I was 16, I blacked out. And when I came out of my blackout, I was in the private box at Gillette Stadium, and I was being handcuffed by police officers. And they said, "You're pretty drunk, huh?" And I said, "Yeah, like I don't even know how I got here." And I looked down and I had pissed my pants as well. So,
and we have a winner.
Yeah.
I got one. I was watching, I think it was Saw 5, and it was Halloween. And there's a bit where they have to cut their arm off to put it on a weight who's willing to give more blood. And so I thought it was like special effects. So there was a couple behind me. And so when the lady cut off and did the splurting thing, I thought it was special effects, not to realize this girl was actually hammered and she puked. Luckily, it only went a bit on me. My whole friend was like covered with it. Oh, I thought, what? Is this special effects or something? And then all of a sudden, like, it's this blue, greenish puke that she'd go to the cinema drunk. She was smashed. So that was embarrassing. I had to go to the toilet and clean myself.
And that's a pretty good one. 1892 here. Luke, he went to West Ham, Liverpool, Upton Park, went to sit down in the seat, and his seat went straight back up, and he fell straight on his ass. In front of a big crowd, that is tough, man. That's really tough in front of a big crowd. My man Gaurav here. Gaurav's been here since like we first went on YouTube. He went away for a little bit. Now he's back. We appreciate you. Are we on board with the Nat Phillips is better at center back than Harry Maguire? Because my hand's up. I think he is.
Put that hand up, Jaime. Thank you.
That's four.
Yeah. Oh, we got two hands.
What's your embarrassing one?
Oh, I can give you one from a childhood and then I can give you one from adulthood. They're not as good as yours, I thought.
You have that many, huh?
I embarrass myself on a regular basis. Like, it's so things that embarrass me don't actually embarrass me anymore. Okay, so when I was a kid, we were... I was 12 and we went to America for the first time with family. And I remember coming in from the pool in the villa. Now, bear in mind, like, you know what villas are like when you rent them? They've got like big fuck off, like blue and yellow stickers, like all over the glass door.
Wait, where in the States were you?
Florida.
Okay. When that's where I am now. So continue.
So you know what they're like when you get these villas and you rent them in America and they've got big fuck off stickers. Like, please close the door behind you or air conditioning. And me being 12, just opened the door to go and get some ice cream, walked into the kitchen, get some ice cream, not realizing that my dad had shut the door. Oh. And I turned around with the bowl of ice cream and walked whack right into the yellow sticker. Fell backward rolled, somehow saved my ice cream, and sat there with the ice cream above me and went, "When did that door get there?" Like these stickers weren't right in my face the entire time. So yeah, I walked into a glass wall. And then the adult one. My 24th birthday, me and the girls from work decided to go out for my well, into town for a few drinks, and we went to a gym bar and all that. We ended up going out, which we didn't expect. And there was a stag do that was coming through town as we were going home. Now, me being absolutely at this point fucking rat arse drunk, thought it was absolutely hilarious and real life that there was a walking, talking ketchup and mustard bottle in the middle of town, and ran through the middle of Church Street going, "Oh my God, there's a real life ketchup bottle talking to me." I genuinely was frightened thinking that this was a real ketchup bottle. Like, who the fuck thinks that when they're drunk? But apparently
you do.
I thought there was a 6-foot-odd ketchup bottle talking to me, and it was real life. It wasn't a person dressed up at all. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds pretty shit when, you know, 16-year-old pissy pants over here gets arrested.
Guys, I'm going to have to go. My phone is literally about to die, but thank you very much for having me.
We always love you, mate. We're going to have you on again, but I think we're about to wrap up anyway, so yep. Stay beautiful. Stay safe.
You too. See you later.
See you, dog.
Right, should we wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Well, that was, honestly, we're at 120 minutes, and I'm still buzzing, which is still crazy. So, everyone in the chat, we love you guys. 1892, Alan, Chris Welch, Jay Gee. I can't even name them all. Craig, Garav, LC Gamer. You guys are all seriously so awesome. Caught by Kev. Hit that like and subscribe button if you haven't yet. Yeah. We're going to be back. Kind of a quick turnaround. We'll be back on Friday for the Friday's Final Word. Saturday, we have our pre-match for Crystal Palace. And then Sunday, as always, we have team news, live watch-along. And then hopefully celebrating on our post-match reactions. 1892, please go ahead and DM me like immediately after this. Want to link up with you ASAP.
No, I don't.
Sophie doesn't, but I do.
I'm sick that day.
happy hump day, everyone. We love you all. Up the Reds, top four right now. Let's keep it going. Take care, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Up the Reds.